Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading today, Jesus describes what we have to look forward to before the end comes. Oh joy. It sounds like this should be comforting. We have a roadmap to show us what we can expect in the future. That's always fun to see, except when you actually look a little deeper. As we look through Jesus' words in Mark chapter 13, and especially from verse 5 onward, let's see if we can fill out our apocalypse bingo card. Let's see. False prophets are appearing and leading many astray. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, invasions and unrest, conflict of nation against nation, some of it religiously driven. Christians are forced to stand in court for their proclamation of the truth. And on top of that, it's not mentioned. No, I guess it is. And on top of that, we also have a global plague. It sure sounds like the end times to me. Did anyone fill out their card yet? There's just one problem. I wasn't describing today. I was not describing 2021 America just then. I was describing 1520s Germany, the time of Martin Luther, about 500 years ago. Luther was contending with false teachers who took the message of the gospel and twisted it away from the truth. Both those who still followed the Pope and declared that you are saved by works of supererogation above and beyond following the law, and those who, on the other side, the radical reformers who pushed back against Luther and said you're saved by works of the law. They ran out the front door and came all the way back in the back door of the... Anyways. Luther was also, there were those who would take the Bible into wildly unbiblical conclusions. There was war between the Holy Roman Empire and the Ottoman Turks off to the southeast. There was also rumors of war building between the Catholic Holy Roman Emperor and the Lutheran princes of Germany. Christians were dragged before inquisitorial courts and threatened with death if they did not recant. Many a Lutheran in that day faced the stake. Oh, and they also had a little thing called the bubonic plague that they were contending with. So maybe those signs of the end aren't quite so clear-cut as we often think. After all, people have been looking at these exact same signs of the end and yet have come to wildly different conclusions regarding when that end is actually going to come. So I guess we can't look at Mark chapter 13 and say Jesus is going to be coming in 3, 2, 1, no trumpets. But how can we read this? What should we do with Jesus' warnings in our gospel reading today? Well, first off, we need to look at this and recognize that there will always be trouble in this world. There are going to be these worldly struggles around us. At the time of Jesus, going all the way back to verse 2 of our reading, he says that the buildings of Jerusalem will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus at that point is talking about what's going to happen in about 40 years when the Jewish people revolt against the Romans, and the Romans come in with the caterpillars and just bulldoze Jerusalem. Metaphorically, they didn't actually have any bulldozers, but they might as well have. God created this world to be good, but It has fallen away from that ideal. That is why we have all of these troubles in this world. War is tragic, but it is always likely to happen. After all, conflict is something that happens when sinful human beings disagree, and war is something that happens when sinful human beings with weapons and armies to burn disagree. Wars are going to happen, and there are always these rumors of coming war. False teachers, they're not a new thing. There have always been false teachers trying to preach against or contrary to God's word. There always will be. As long as people reject God's truth in favor of their own self-righteous thoughts, there will be people out there willing to take advantage of those who reject God's will. Today's Joel Osteen's or Kenneth Copeland's teachers of a this-world-centric gospel that ignores the centrality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're no different from the radical reformers of Luther's day who rejected God's promises in baptism, or for that matter, the Gnostics of Jesus' time who questioned the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Today's false teachers don't claim to be Jesus, or at least not in those same words. Instead, they claim that you can bend Jesus to your will. They preach a very this world brand of Christianity, one where the idea of struggling or being persecuted is completely foreign. That message, however, is just false, just as liable to draw people astray as it claimed to be the returned Jesus. So if you hear someone speaking in God's name, you should always test the Spirit. You should always be on your guard. See that no one leads you astray after these false claims. Ask yourself, does this jibe with what God has already told us in Scripture? We are also, on top of that, going to face persecution in this world. Now, here in America, we don't normally face the same kind of persecution as our brothers and sisters around the world. We probably won't be forced to lie down in a straight line so the army can run us over with a tank, which is something that actually happened in communist China back in the 60s or 70s. We probably won't be sent to a concentration camp and executed for speaking out against our government's false anti-Christian ideas and practices, which is what happened to some of the leaders in the Confessing Church, the church resistance in Nazi Germany. We probably won't be tortured to death like countless saints throughout the history of the church. But persecution is still a thing. The persecution we might face is likely going to be different. Oh, you're going to church today? But why? Anyone who believes that has to be a bigot or a racist. Even if it's not literal persecution, we might also face tests in this life. The kid's soccer game happens to be on Sunday morning, or being scheduled to work on Thanksgiving Eve instead of attending worship. If you think through your life, you can come up with plenty of examples of how our society shows itself to be opposed to or to reject God's will. And all of these are their own form of tests for believers. And so what are we to do when this happens? Well, the first thing we have to do is, Jesus says, to be on our guard and to stand firm in to see that no one leads you astray, to be prepared for this. Jesus tells us that what we are given to do is to speak the gospel to those who need to hear it. Now, this shouldn't exactly come as a shock. Proclaiming the gospel to those who need to hear it is a command that Jesus gives to everyone. In our men's Bible study yesterday, we talked about Matthew 28 and also about Luke 24, where Jesus says that you are witnesses of these things. You are to speak God's gospel message to those who need to hear it. This gospel, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which is found in Scripture alone, that gospel is the only thing that can rescue us from the death and despair and suffering of this world. And so when we suffer for our faith, Jesus tells us that gives us an opportunity to share the good news that enables us to endure suffering, including with those who are persecuting and testing. And so, read in that way, verse 10 we look at, and it is a comfort that the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Everyone is going to hear this, whether it be through us or through others. The whole world is going to hear this message. Now, we don't actually know what this means for us to say that the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations before any of this happened, or before the end can come. Luther thought that his proclamation of the true gospel, which had so long been buried, was the fulfillment of this. Hence looking at Mark 13 and saying, okay, maybe Jesus is coming sooner than we thought. Others throughout history have thought the same. But we don't know. All we can do is to proclaim that good news. When we proclaim the gospel to those who need to hear it, we are doing no more or less than what God's intended purpose is for you, for me, for all of us. Not only that, but remember, our proclamation isn't coming from ourselves. Jesus says that it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. It is the words that we speak are those that come from God the Holy Spirit. If you are called on to testify to your faith, remember this. It is not you who is speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. The words you speak aren't your own. They are from God. The purpose they'll serve isn't your own. It is God's purpose. You don't need to worry about what you are going to say. You don't need to plan it out. All you need to do is to speak the words that are given you in that hour. And so take heart, people of God. You are serving your loving God, and you will be saved. With everything that's going on in the world around us, it is easy to lose that confidence. Maybe the persecution will come in our lifetime. 10, 20 years ago, there was a Catholic bishop in, I think, Chicago, who said that he was predicting that he would die in his sleep, his successor would die in prison, and his successor would die a martyr, which would put us in that die-in-prison generation. Maybe that will happen. Maybe it will not. Maybe we will be hauled into court for our proclamation of God's truth. Maybe we will spend time in prison or suffer martyrdom because of our faith. Maybe there will be the effects of war and famine that we endure. But it doesn't matter. We will speak God's truth. We will share the gospel with those around us because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. If your confidence is shaken, take heart. Nothing that we face today is new. Christians have suffered persecution and danger and famine throughout history. If you're afraid of COVID, remember that Christians have served their neighbors during plagues for as long as there have been plagues. One of the ways, in fact, that Christianity spread in the first few centuries was in the wake of the bubonic plague. As cities were left deserted, it was the Christians who would remain behind, heedless of the danger, in order to tend the sick and dying and to bury the dead. Luther's words about the plague in his day also ring true today. We are to, Luther says, we are to take all the proper precautions to prevent ourselves from getting or spreading the illness, but then we are to go about our vocations, helping those around us and trusting in God to bring us through or bring us to himself. If you are afraid of the persecution, remember the words of Tertullian that the seed of the gospel is watered by the blood of the martyrs. Christianity thrives when it is opposed. That is why the church in China today is so strong. We will endure and we will be saved, not because of anything that we do. You are not saved by your own words or actions. You are saved by Christ's action, by Christ's death on the cross that saves you. Nothing has changed, but your salvation is secure in Jesus. So what? We see wars and rumors of wars around us. We read in the news about Christians who are mocked and derided and face legal and political reprisals for their faith. We look at a society that devalues eternity and finds better things to do on a Sunday morning. How do we react? Of course, we can despair, can long for the fabled good old days when churches were full and society was Christian. We can wish that God had placed us in a different time period, but that's not what Jesus urges us to do. Instead, he urges us to not be alarmed, to not be anxious, to endure to the end. Fellow believers, all we have is to endure, to follow our great Messiah who endured cross and grave on our behalf and rose from the dead to bring us to heaven with him, to give us salvation. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.